Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. The Reds are still unbeaten across the board. Damien Duff's team got the job done against Dundalk, thanks to some Liam Burt magic. An illness-ravaged squad regrouped to somehow fight very, very hard for a point against Derry City. And in between that, Noel Murray's magic wasn't quite enough to seal a win on the road for Owen Whelan's Chargers. We'll break it all down, as well as fielding your listener questions, and you'll hear our Richie Rankins. Men, it's back. It's business as usual. Adam Leonard, Ben Cleary, how are we?
Good, Dooney. How are you?
All good.
I'm good. It's been a good weekend. A certain Darren Cleary had a hunch that something wasn't quite right yesterday before the Derry game. We're obviously recording here Tuesday. He was right in the end, and it was pure guesswork, but something wasn't quite right in the end. We'll get there. We will get there. First of all, I'm going to start with last week's pod. Probably the most interaction we've had on a pod here. We obviously gave our ultimate First Division 11s. To the fella who shouted abuse at me from the Millmount House on Friday when I was crossing the road for not even mentioning Bistow Flood, I had him written on the piece of paper. We had talked about him before we went on air. And I just, for whatever reason, forgot to mention him. A couple of other honourable mentions that I don't think I did mention. James Chambers, I don't think I mentioned. Probably went under the radar. Jim Crawford, similar. Lads, what kind of stick did we get for our 11s?
Yeah, there was, look, as you said, a lot of interaction, which is good. Look, it's a lot harder on this side than it is the other side. Like, with hindsight, when you have a little bit more time, maybe it's a bit easier on those kind of players that fly under the radar do get the mention they deserve. But I think overall we did quite well. No?
Yeah, I thought it was grand. Other than, like I think me and Ben have the problem here of like, not remembering a lot of, I suppose, the glory days and only remembering the misery. So we were kind of in trouble, like, in that sense. But I don't know. I thought we did quite well, but, nah, look, it is what it is.
As I think you came in for the most stick.
Well, for Denzel.
yeah, your inclusion of Denzel Fernandez didn't go down well with a few people, I have to say. The more I think about it, it was very, very rogue. But the remit was players were put in for what they did or how good they were while they were at the club. And in fairness, for that, whatever it was, few months that Denzel was regularly in the team, he was. He was brilliant. So, the inclusion of Denzel didn't go down well. Skinner wasn't happy. But on the flip side of that, Davey Mack was extremely happy that he was included. And we got hearty handshakes off Davey Mack for including him. But I think in nearly everyone that got back to us with a team, I think they all pretty much had Davey Mack in it. So,
and you scored the amount of goals he did from midfield. It's very hard to leave him out, I suppose.
Yeah, of course it is. Look, we could have done a whole other podcast on that alone, on the people that, like, various headbangers in Tolka got onto us on Friday and Monday, as well as on social media for, you know, leaving people out and how did he get in and so on and so forth. Another one actually I got a bit of stick over, Ben, I don't know whether you did, was for having Clarkey in.
Yeah, I'd want to say Clarkey over Dino is a mental show. I don't see how Clarkey was instrumental in what we did in the first division and getting up to the Premier. Like, I just, he was solid beyond belief. Like, I just don't really get how you could even argue that.
Yeah, I would lean on the fact that Dino was a good hand in goal. He was solid. But I think Clarkey was a difference maker. I also, around Darren Cleary, gave me a bit of stick because I mentioned the difference Clarkey made when he came in and dislodged Lewis Webb. That was obviously in the Premier Division season. So, yeah, look, we all make mistakes. This is why I try to fact check and I don't jump to mad kind of statements. So I learned a harsh lesson there, but nevertheless. Before we go any further, I do have to mention, I probably sound a lot better in people's ears at the moment. Rory Brady, good Reds man, a friend of yours, Ben, kindly donated a microphone because he's, in his own words, your guests always sound better than you, and I mean, that's just stupid. So I was like, yeah, that's probably fair enough. So Rory, thank you very much for your kind donation. Does this mean he becomes the sponsor of the pod?
Yeah, I think so. So we may get on to him and get like jackets made, or, you know.
Yeah.
If he's shelling it out, like.
This episode of the 1895 podcast, proudly sponsored by Rory Brady. But it's much appreciated. I'm sure everyone will appreciate it because it's a major upgrade, a needed upgrade, I would say. Gents, the real business Friday. It was a pretty grim watch in the first half. Not a whole lot happening, but as we got over the line in the end, stunk of one of those kind of games, didn't it?
Yeah, there was a point in the game, Steve, I think it was around like the 70th minute after we went like 2-0 up, and you were walking past me and just went, oh, it was always going to happen, wasn't it? And I think that was kind of the general consensus I had at the game, was I didn't feel like we were under too much threat. I thought we dealt with everything superbly well, as we usually do. And I did feel like once we got one goal, if we were to get one goal, then the second would come. So usually it is that first goal that's the hardest to come by. When we got it, I was fairly confident in the win then. I think the disappointing thing is probably the goal at the end. I know it's only a consolation in the end for Dundalk, but I think Conor Cairns and the lads at the back would be disappointed to concede a goal like that late on. But apart from that, I thought it was a handy day at the office now for Shields.
It's funny, the goal we conceded, I watched it back because I'm a misery, and I was like, yeah, all right, fair enough, we scored, but what was the story with the goal? Because we've topped up the kind of back four not so much. This is probably a little bit of a cop-out, but that's twice we've been done by an unbelievable delivery into the box. I think it was John Mountney stuck that ball in, and it's just right in that grey area. I think, who's your man from Pats who stuck the ball in against us?
It was Mulroney, was it?
Mulroney, yeah. Oh, the ball is just in such a good area. So difficult. Look, fair enough, the attacker got in between the two centre-halves, which isn't ideal, but that was the only real blot. I mean, Conor Cairns pulled off a good save in the first half. I think that was only after about 10 minutes or so. Ben, other talking points from Friday? Not a whole lot, really.
There isn't a whole lot. Look, the displays in the first and second half are kind of chalk and cheese. The manager echoed that in his post-match, as did Liam Burt. Like, they, I think they knew they were off the levels that they've set for themselves, and I think they knew they needed to raise the game. I think they did in the second half, but I think that win against Dundalk is a big one for me, and I'll tell you why. I think it's a little bit of a statement of maturity of this squad, because 18 months ago, that's a game that could easily be thrown away in the 90th plus minute, and we're going away at 1 point instead of three. I don't know if you would agree, but that's kind of my thinking of it. Ads, what do you reckon, Doody?
Yeah, I think especially in that fourth season under Duff, we might have, you know, crumbled under the pressure towards the end and given away silly goal. Maybe not so much last season, but definitely the season before. I do agree with you, though. I do think it is a sign of how far we've come, that like, and I don't want to sound, you know, too confident in saying it, but I didn't feel like, even when Dundalk scored, I didn't feel like they'd get another. I just thought it was maybe like a lapse in concentration. Look at the great ball from Mountney, as Steve said. But I didn't feel like we'd lose the game, or even, like, I suppose, draw the game from there on in. So, yeah, no, I do agree with you. I think one of the big talking points, and Ben alluded to about Burt's goal, is Liam Burt. I think his performance on the night was really good. I think Duffer said it, didn't he, in his post-match, where he was like, he probably hasn't got the stats to back it up, but he's been instrumental in everything. And I think the goal and assist was well-deserved. The goal was well-taken as well. So, yeah, no, I'm delighted for Liam Burt.
The manager keeps calling him elite. Anytime he talks about him, he always mentions the word elite, and we're probably seeing that now. In fairness, like, I think people, I've seen somebody online there going on a mad one that Liam Burt got into the team of the week because he was involved in a nil all obviously yesterday. But I think when you do score, and look, he should be given an assist for the OG as well. He's just, whatever about you mentioned there, the stats aren't there. He's a pain in the arse. Like, if he starts dribbling, he just has this way of, like, gliding past people. And I remember he was kind of put in focus in the Bowls game with the kind of pitch side camera, and you kind of pick it up a little bit more where he's just gliding around the place. It's like he's on a hoverboard going around. He just effortlessly turns and moves the ball, and it's not always like a lightning quick turn of pace. He just seems to move the ball a certain way that makes it really difficult for people. And his goal, I mean, I don't know whether it took a deflection or not. It took a weird flight, that's what I would say, and caught the keeper out, but a bit of dribbling. Like, there was kind of shades of Jack Moylan in it, that kind of dribbling, and once you get a bit of a head of steam up,
no, it was very direct, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like,
just turn and ran. And, like, yeah, that's what the manager said in his post-match. Like, you mentioned elite. He also says he has that X factor where, like, he gets the ball on that half turn, he's just going to run at you, and that's exactly what he did.
And I think if you ask Paddy Barrett, Gav Malloy, Coyler, Lunny, Caffrey, that's what you don't want, is somebody like that running at you in those kind of areas. So even the second goal, I mean, Jarvis was brilliant. He played a little ball in between the kind of fullback, and their winger was trying to get back to recover, and he just slipped a little one in between, and then obviously Burke gets to the byline, cuts it back, and it's an OG. What I would say is Dundalk are shy. I mean, I watched them again because, again, I'm a sad act. Yesterday, they obviously played Drogheda. It was the 1 o'clock game yesterday, and that was a grim, grim state of affairs. So terrible, terrible game of football. Did just, though, see Archie Davis's yellow card, and obviously ended up being a red. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible it was. Did you see it?
He kicked the ball really high, didn't he?
Oh, man. What he was doing? He wasn't even getting a second yellow for the tackle. And then he just, complete head loss, wellies the ball up in the air, got a second yellow and red. Did you see as well, Luke Heaney's red? That's kind of caused a bit of divide. And we'll come to referees later on. I'm not one for referee bashing, but sometimes it can't be helped. Did you see the red card for Luke Heaney for Drogheda?
No, I didn't see it.
Ben, what's your thoughts on it?
I just think it's one of those where it's a standards thing. Like, you talk about standards increasing across the league. I think standards in refereeing, like, I know you said you don't like to bash them, but I don't know. I just...
That Heaney one's a definite red.
No, I don't.
What happened, Steve?
He just boots him. Like,
well, I didn't see it now.
Heaney was kind of recovering, and he was chasing the Dundalk winger, and he slides and just boots him from behind. There's no effort to get near the ball. It's not like he just tripped him. He completely boots him. And, like, I can't remember whether Heaney was on a yellow or not, but just trip him. Like, you deserve to be sent off for your stupidity alone. He just, like, right, Ben, I'll put it to you this way. If they're both standing in front of each other, or if they're both standing, say, if there's a bit of a schmuzzle, we'll come to that bleeding world as well in a minute. If if me and you, there's a bit of a shoving match and you're walking away from me and I boot you in the leg, is that a red card?
Well, I suppose, like...
It's a definite red. I'm not having any other argument about that. That it was a stonewall red card. But, look, don't know how I got onto that. It's usually Darren brings me on wild tangents. So, let's knock that in the head. In
terms really rile you up there because I knew you thought that was a red because you gave out about it loads. So I just really wanted to get at you there.
Ah, yeah. People are stupid.
What did you think of the ref yesterday, Steve?
The ref yesterday was... I have to be careful how I word this because people are listening. He wasn't great. He wasn't great. We'll come to that now in a minute. Don't worry, we'll get there. The real question is, have you both heard the word schmuzzle before?
Yes.
No. Adam?
No.
Never?
Schmuzzle?
Yeah, a schmuzzle.
It sounds like you made it up, Steve.
No, it's definitely not made up. It's definitely not. The manager basically chose to make me look stupid when I had to interview him after the game. Not the first time he's done that to me, mind you. But in the absence of Darren, I had the unenviable task of interviewing the manager after the game. And yeah, he's never heard of a schmuzzle, apparently. But look, he has now. The question I actually asked him at the time was, did that make a difference? You know, it was just before half time. There was a bit of a... It was handbags, really, but it was probably the most exciting thing to happen in the first half. Are you lads believers in something like that can light a bit of a spark in the game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that probably was missing yesterday as well at times. I think something like that sparks it into life and gets the fans on side. Everyone loves a bit of a scrap, don't they?
Yeah, a few people as well were saying, oh, Mark Coyle's probably lucky not to get a straight red. Absolutely not. Pushing somebody isn't a straight red. Sorry, but it shouldn't be.
I remember now, is this the one where your man Ainsley was running over to the sideline and he was kind of giving it to the fourth official or something as well? He's like a little rat in school. He is. Oh my God, he was wrecking my head, didn't he?
Yeah, the Gibraltar International, mind you.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, well, look, obviously it doesn't take much to be a Gibraltar International because he was garbage as well. But it just, I don't know, there's always seems to be a bit of bad blood with Dundalk. Not too sure what it is. Don't know whether it goes back to the Conor Kane injury or there's something with them always seems to start. I also enjoyed Stephen O'Donnell's complete head loss after the game when he was speaking to their local media. Ben, you would have been floating around for that.
That's the bottom line.
That's a man under pressure, fair to say.
Yeah, I feel like he got fairly rattled by a lot of their questions. And to be fair, based on the start they've had and what they've done, they're fair to ask. I think you probably should have to answer for them. And I don't know, he went down swinging, let's just say, put it that way.
Yeah, for anyone that has heard of or seen Jerry Malone, he's live at Oriel on Twitter. He got into it with Stephen O'Donnell after the game. And it was an interesting listen, to be fair. But look, I try to stick on the topic of shells as much as possible and not go off on other clubs. So probably a case just drawing a line on that Friday. Yeah, got the job done, 3 points in the bag. And then obviously it moved on to Saturday then. Women's Premier Division side were down in Athlone. It's a funny one, this. It's the type of one where if you're the one that equalises so late in the game, you think of it as a point gained. When you are winning for so long and then you end up losing at the end, probably look at it as 2 points dropped. Ben, what way would you be looking at it?
I think you have to look at it as a two dropped, really. Like a goal that comes so late, it is kind of just a punch in the stomach, and because you are just trying to see out the game. So it's not great, it's not ideal. But I think one thing that I will say is standards across the board are going up, especially in the Women's Premier Division. Like I saw, I think it was on Twitter, someone predicted Bowles would have a 4-1 win over Cork City, and Cork City won 1-0. Like, there's no easy games in the division by the looks of it. And look, Athlone are a good side. There's not, no doubts about that. So the threat was always there, but it is, look, it's a tough pill to swallow, but I'm sure it's just a case of, look, it's still a point on the board, so you move on to the next one, and that's where your focus lies.
Yeah, and Athlone team managed by Ciarán Kilduff, of course. It's one of those ones, like, over the last couple of seasons, as Ben mentions there, the whole division is just getting stronger across the board. Like, even just looking at the results from Saturday, like, Cork bet Bowes. Bowes were the home team there. Rovers only drew a treaty. Peenemount narrowly beat Wexford. Galway beat Sligo. Sligo obviously scoring twice, and then we drew. Like, the league table itself, everyone's off the mark after three games. I think Sligo and DLR, I think maybe Treaty's the other team, obviously have a game less played, but it's an awful lot tighter now, isn't it? You obviously would have seen an awful lot of the teams last year with obviously commentating on it, but it's a tighter division overall, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Ben provides a good point there about the standards rising. Like, I think the Treaty side and then the likes of Cork, I think there was a long time where they weren't winning games in the league. Could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure, I think it might have been Treaty had went nearly a season without a win, stuff like that. So for them to get a 2-2 draw away to Rovers is quite big. Like the likes of Athlone and Galway, I think they're going to be right up there this season. And even Cork winning at Bowes, like, Bowes early on, they looked like they could have mounted something. And obviously, look, we're only three games in, so there's still a lot of football to be played. But, like, everyone's picking points off each other. We are early on in the season. Like, Peamount getting a win, and they don't look like to be at their best and stuff. Like, it is such a tight division. The game itself on Saturday, I do think there's a lot of frustration attached to it. To concede so late on is annoying. You know, Maddie Gibson is such a good footballer now, and she took the goal really well after the Wales goal. But it's one of them. I think we're still early on in Almirin's kind of tenure. I think he's still getting, I think the players are still getting used to each other and getting used to the system, etc. And like, it is still quite a young team. So I do think, like, they will come good. I don't think that's in question. But at the minute, it's just, there's like a tinge of frustration attached to it. And look, with the league being how it is probably as strong as it's ever been. Or I suppose as close as it's ever been in terms of teams being on the same level. It is hard to pick up points, but I do think Shells will come good. But yeah, it's a tough one. It was a tough one to take on Saturday evening, I have to say.
We obviously went 1-0 up through Noel Murray. I mean, it's so typically Noel Murray, isn't it, really, the goal, the quality in it. I couldn't make out by the camera. The commentator said it was Christy Gray. I don't know whether it was or not. I think it was that control the ball and just that little defence splitter through. And then Noel obviously dinks it over the keeper. In terms of quality and like kind of summing up a player, that type of goal, Ben, really sums up Noel Murray, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's clear to see. Like, you just, I saw on Twitter someone said she only scores bangers, and like, you can't really argue, like, just the quality of kind of everything. It's just that extra bit of class that you get with her, and like, it's very hard to argue that she's not one of the better players in the league. I think it's just, she just has that something, and you can see it in all of her finishes, because she's usually a highlight most weeks when she does get on the score sheet.
Yeah, it was the composure for me. Like, so often you see players like that get treaded through one-on-one, and she was under a lot of pressure as well because the centre-half had recovered really well. Just composure. That always fascinates me, that like players in those kind of moments, like, I know probably an extreme version of it would be like the Aguero goal back in the day, the Win City, the league. It's like taking that extra touch, that bit of composure is just, I think that's where the real class is. And as you say, Noel Murray is like a human highlight reel. She could just, she could probably have her own goal of the season awards when the league finishes. The goal down the other end, though, when I watched it back, you're looking at it going, we were really deep. And look, that's fair enough. It was into stoppage time. There was 8 minutes added on. I think it was the third minute of the eight. Mm-hmm. You're naturally going to drop off, you know, be a bit deeper, try and see the game out. There was no pressure on the cross. That would maybe be a bit of a criticism, but tired bodies. And like, fairness to Pearl, does everything right. She clears the box with the header. That'd be the number one rule. Make sure you clear the box. And like, as you mentioned there, the quality from Matty Gibson to just, like, you'd probably say you're happy enough to give away that shot. You know, all things considered, you'd probably say, right, it's going to take something pretty special there to score, but it is just frustrating, probably in the end. But look, you don't know how that season's going to pan out. It could be one of those that at the end you kind of say, you know, that was a point gained in that loan rather than two dropped. Probably stinks of that ads, does it?
Yeah, I just think the nature of the game, like being, you know, leading the game for as long as they did, and like as good as Athlone are, and look at that, you can't take any credit away from them. They deserve the point in the end. It's just frustrating. Do you know, it's frustrating to lead a game for as long as you did and to kind of get the hammer blow at the end with the goal. But look, at Matty Gibson's a player myself and Shauna Cook have talked about before. Like, she'd be a player I'd have in Shells. Like, I do think she's that good. And look, she takes the goal really well. And it's not to take away from any of the players at Shells either. It was just a really good goal. I just think it's early on, and I think I spoke about it with Dave and Gantry yesterday for the Derry game. Like, early on in the season is when the likes of Shells and, you know, for the women's side, the likes of Shells, Piemont, etc. This is when they probably will drop points as early on in the season, you know, when they're out of rhythm and kind of getting used to each other and stuff. So, like, it's not too surprising given the circumstance. And I do think Athlone will be up there. So, yeah, I do agree with you. I think if Shells are to win the league at the end of the season, you could look back at this game and go, look, that was a hard-fought point in Athlone. I just think given the circumstance of being in front for as long as they were and then conceding when they did, it is slightly frustrating, but I wouldn't take anything away from Athlone or Shells. I thought we did really well on the day. Just to concede late on is frustrating.
That's it, pretty much summed up. Well done to Alex Kavanagh as well. Got into the team of the week, deservedly so. Such an important player just for keeping the team ticking over, keeping the team playing forward. It can be an unsung role, but well done to Alex again. Our spot in the team of the week. Yesterday, it was back to Tolka. It was billed as a huge game. It was top of the table clash. Derry hopeful of winning the league, probably expected to, in terms of, you know, budgets and players and signings and stuff like that. Ben, bit of a non-contest in the end, in terms of there was no real openers, no massive chances, no howlers missed. Just tight affair, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was cagey. Like, it was a little bit back and forth when you understand what the players went through, and the manager said, obviously, with them having a sickness in the camp, it's an unbelievable performance. And the manager, I think, said it was the biggest point they picked up. And here, by the looks of things, it was... You can't fault effort, and that's what they did give. Look, it was never going to be an easy game. It was never going to be a lot of chances. Derry defensively are a very, very good side, and I think they showed that. They coughed up one chance in the 3v2, and look, unfortunately, it was an offside there, and the chance wasn't taken. But look, a game of few chances, and I think a deserved point. I think the point is definitely a fair result between the two sides. And considering everything in the camp, it is a great result.
Ads, on the illness and the... It felt a bit weird before the game, and I can't put my finger on it, but there was just no... Like, usually the manager is out on the pitch and he's kind of walking around, taking everything in. He wasn't. I didn't see him literally until the game kicked off and he came out of the tunnel. In hindsight, looking back on it, Boydie didn't really do a full warm-up either. Now, I didn't realise that at the time, but like when I seen he wasn't playing, I just presumed, oh, well, we probably don't want to get into that kind of battle with Mark Connolly and McElhenney up front. Like, for the group of players to bounce back and to expel the effort that they did, was Duffer's reaction fair, kind of going towards the Riverside at the end, pointing at the players? I think he was trying to get across, like, you know, yeah, it was flat, but they deserve all the credit in the world. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think they did. Like, myself and Dave did say in the gantry, like, it was a bit lethargic at times from Shells, and, like, we didn't know why that was. We didn't know if it was fatigue from Friday evening against Dundalk, and obviously look at the manager's comments after the game, you know, make complete sense and kind of gives you a bit of, I suppose, context as to why they weren't at it. But even at that, I thought it was a very cagey game. Like, I don't think Derry necessarily did enough for the win. I think Duffer said himself, we had more of the bigger moments in the game. And, like, I think, like, there's a chance with Liam Burt, isn't there, when he's running through. And to be honest, I'm surprised he didn't take it on himself. But he plays it through to Caffrey, and the line-out gives him offside. But from where I was, it didn't really look like he was offside. Now, obviously, he misses a chance in the end, so that's irrelevant. And then I think Will Jarvis has a chance where he darts through the defence of Derry as well. So, like, I think we had the bigger moments in the game. I don't think Derry really laid a glove on us to an extent. Now, they're missing a good few bodies as well, so that's probably why. But I think given the effort that they put in and given the circumstance around the squad being ill, I think it can be more than happy with a point gained there. And look, we're 8 points clear at the top, Steve. I don't think we can be doing too much complaining as we sit here now.
No. Anyone who's complaining at the moment, hand in your season ticket, because you're just looking for misery if you're complaining at the moment.
Anyone complaining at the moment hasn't seen real misery. Because
No. Like,
if you've experienced real Shelburne misery, you would, and you're complaining now, being 8 points clear at the top of the table. Wow.
Yeah, just talking on that about context and where, how far we've come. Rob Lenehan was on. He was actually wondering why Brian Shorthall never got a mention in the First Division 11s. I think he ended up being a bit of a looper in the end, so that probably ruled him out.
I didn't think he'd be saying this thing.
Rob was on to say he had a comment as opposed to a question. He says, on Saturday I got a memory from Footballogy of a game from 10 years ago, a one-all draw in Tallaght against Rovers B.
Yeah,
he said, it's meant to look back at it and see how far the club has come since those years. Long may it continue. It is incredible, isn't it, when you think, like, 10 years is not all that long in football, really. And where we are now, all the turning points we've had. I mean, I got on to Rob then back and just said, even in the last couple of years, how different things could have looked if we stuck with Morrow. And I was pro Morrow, I don't mind saying that. You know, I was very pro Morrow. No, not everybody was, but it is a bit mad then, isn't it, to think in 10 years you've gone from playing Tallaght B out in, or Rovers B out in Tallaght, to a massive crowd on a Monday, a home to Derry in the top of the table clash.
Look, that game, probably I'd say you'd be lucky to get 50 people from our end at it, maybe 100 at a push. And now you're looking at selling out games, a packed Riverside that's only going to get bigger when the standing areas are available. Like, it's just, it's mental to see the growth. Like, dude, you'll know, and Adam, you'll know yourself, there'd be times where you'd come into Tolka and you'd know every single face that walks past you. And you could stop and talk to them. But to see new people coming in, crowds growing, it's amazing. Like, it is, like, it's a testament to the club, to everything that's gone on. You know, we've done really well to build ourselves back up, especially over the last few years under the manager and his staff, the team he's put together. Like, it's really got people talking, and it's got people out of their houses and sitting in talk on a Friday and then on a Monday. Like, it's amazing.
It's mad, because Dave Rogers, obviously, for anyone who was at the game and hasn't watched the highlights back, Dave Rogers was in Tolka. He was up in the commentary box with you, Adam, and he done the same thing that Stewie Byrne did when we had him back in Tolka for a podcast. We had Giller back in Talca for a podcast, and they all do the same thing. They just go out on the pitch and they just kind of stroll around and they're looking up. A lot of them seem to look towards the newsstands for obvious reasons, but he just seemed so happy that the club was in the position it was in, because he said like he had been back in previous seasons to this one and he said it just didn't feel right, didn't feel good. But he said to be back in a, with the ground the way it is, like I asked him, did the place look much different? And he just kind of laughed, said, no, it doesn't actually. So the only difference is that there's a, the seat has gone from the sides of the riverside. That's probably a damning sign that Talca looks exactly the same as all those years ago. But as you had Davey up in the commentary box with you, how did you get on?
Yeah, very good. Very good. I think he'd be welcome back, whether it's with me or Declan or Dave Armstrong, whoever's up in the gantry, he'll definitely welcome back with open arms. He's he did the pro license with Damien Duff, so he knows Duffer quite well, I think. And yeah, he's a gent. He was really good, and like I think he knows what he's talking about as well, so that always helps. But he had a real good positive attitude towards, and you could get the sense from him that he still had a lot of love for Shells, and he was telling me a few stories about, you know, back when the club was in trouble and stuff, and he said he never wanted to leave, but obviously he had stuff to pay for, like a mortgage or whatever. So he has real growth for the club, and it was great to have him up there. I think he'd be welcome back again. Yeah, proper club legend.
Hopefully, it's funny, as you say, they're club legend. Ben, you would have been there before the game. I did an interview with him on the pitch, and Darren got a bit of video with him. He doesn't consider himself to be a club legend at all. He was like, I hate that word being bandied around. He said, like, there's people here won leagues upon leagues. And I was here for a few years. I did well, but I wouldn't consider myself a club legend. It's gas how... Look, I'm sure not all supporters would consider him a legend either. I certainly would, just because I had so many good interactions with him. Like, he knew my dad by name, and I just thought that was the best thing in the world at the time. Mm. And like, he'd always come over for a little chat if he seen you there. He's the first person I ever heard say about somebody that they were a few chips short of a chip butty, which I just think is a great old phrase. Yeah. But like, I had a bit of a, I don't mind saying it, a bit of a fanboy moment on the pitch where the man does naturally gravitate towards that spot down at the Ballybock end of the ground where he obviously scored the volley against Hadrick Splay. Like, I was in the stand for that game. I was in the newsstand right at the front row watching it go in, and the pandemonium that was after it. It was a bit mad to kind of sit there or stand on the pitch with him when you're interviewing him all those years later. It was a bit kind of like, geez, this is a bit mad. Same for you, Ben. Like, you were there working the camera ads. You were up in the gantry with him. It's a bit mad, like, that it's all that time has passed, and then you're the one kind of dealing with it. It's a bit mental, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's just surreal. Like, it's just, like, say what you will about club legends and what he thinks, but the goal is iconic. Like, whether it's the commentary, the Declan Drake, Davy Rogers shout, like, it's hard to put your finger on it, but it just feels important when you're there. And just seeing him walk around the pitch and just look around, and, you know, he just said, still smells like a match day, like stuff like that. And he had great advice for the players. He said, look, your career comes quickly and it goes by, and, you know, you have to treasure your moments. And it was really good just hearing him speak. I think the interview is up now across all platforms. I think it's up on YouTube. It's just great hearing him talk about the memories, and he has a lot to say, and he speaks really well and highly of the club. So I think it's definitely an important watch.
Hopefully a Dave Rogers podcast in the pipeline. I think he'd be, we tried to get him last year, I think it was, but he was obviously in the UK working at the time, so it didn't quite mesh up with the schedules, but hopefully, I'd love to sit down with Dave Rogers. I think he'd have some amazing stories, and especially coming into, hopefully, a good European run. Probably no better man to talk to about Shells being in Europe. But Ben, you give me a little idea there. I think in the coming weeks, I might do a little, like, having to place players in a kind of category. Like, Scouser doesn't consider himself a club legend.
I'm sure that...
I'm sure there would be varying thoughts on whether Scouser is a club legend or not. But I think we might do a bit of a, you know, what even would be the tier list? I know we're kind of taking stabs in the dark here. You're probably, is icon above or below legend?
I think icon and legend are one and the same, really.
Yeah, 6-1.
Right. You could have legend, and then it will work downwards from there. They go shoot the names over to you, place them in a category. That'll cause a bit of mayhem, I think. That'll be good.
Like legend, cult hero.
Yes.
Lee Morta.
Yes, because there is a huge difference between a cult hero and a legend. That's for sure. There is actually, I have a bit of trivia for you. Now, I don't know whether either of you know the answer to this. Darren asked the question before. What made me think of it was a certain Welsh goalkeeper, not the one who's the goalkeeper coach for the women's side. He called himself a cult hero. Ben, do you remember that at the afters of the cup final?
I do.
Yeah, he was draped in the Welsh dragon and called himself a cult hero. But obviously, Scott van der Sluis of Love Island and Shelburne fame. There was a player before Scott van der Sluis who featured on reality TV. Do either of you know who it is?
Oh, fuck. Excuse me. Sorry, no.
All right, Adam, Jesus.
We'll bleep that out, Adam, don't worry.
Oh, somebody please think of the children.
What year are we talking, see?
Darren McKeady was the manager. That's all I can give. Now, I know that's vague, because was it the 90s? Was there reality TV in the 90s? I don't know.
I genuinely have absolutely no idea. And I know Darren was the one who posed the question. And I've asked him, and he just said, you'll just have to wait. He refused to tell me. So I actually don't know.
So there's one for the listeners. Get in touch with us if you do know who it is. It's very obscure.
Steve, don't do this to us. You can't let us sit here and wait.
No, absolutely not. You will have to wait, like everyone else had to wait.
Did you not hear my reaction? I was genuinely surprised.
What I would say is, this player played more league minutes than Scott van der Sluis. Wouldn't be hard, I know. And he played one game for the Reds. It was in the Brandywell. And he played for half an hour. That's it. That's all anyone's getting. Get in touch with us on our various Twitter handles. Christ. Either go through the official club platform or get on to us all individually, whatever you'd like to do. But it's a good one. Nice bit of trivia. I know Darren is very happy with it. He likes stumping people. So,
can we do one of them question answer box thingies on Instagram?
Yeah, of course we can. Absolutely. I don't run all that stuff. That's Reggie's job. So, touch base with Reggie. What were you going to say there, Ed?
The answer's not Brad Jones, is it?
No, it's not. It's definitely not. Listener questions. We did get quite a few in this week, of varying seriousness and varying levels of moaning. So, give me 2 seconds here. I'll pull up my old question box. I'm not great with the old social media. I'm a bit old for this. So, we had Conor Latke got onto us twice. He asked, is there a necessity to have 3 weeks during the internationals when there's minimal players away on international duty? What are we saying?
I don't know. I think it depends on, for Shells, if players got called up, I think then it would probably take it into question. But generally speaking, probably not, no. I think especially during the international breaks, people are looking to go and watch football. People are looking for football to watch, especially when you're watching the Irish national side at the minute. You would rather get out and watch the likes of Shells, 100% all day. And Duffer said that, didn't he, last week, about people kind of anticipating the return of the League of Ireland. So I would say no, there's no necessity for a break. And it kind of cuts up the momentum as well, doesn't it? So I'd say there's no necessity for it.
Ben?
I think it sends a very, very bad message for you to say you don't need to break with the international team because you don't have a chance of getting near it. I think that's completely wrong. I think if you look at the league, there's players who for example, if a Gab Malloy was playing in an average League One team, he'd probably be in line with a call-up because he'd be looked at more. Mm. And it's just based on eyes on him. Like, it's just... I think the league has more to offer to an international setup. I know that's definitely a rogue shout and people will definitely have a bit of issue with it. But I do see where Adam's coming from. You would get more people in, but it also, on the flip side, says if you come to play here, good luck with your hopes as an international.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I think there should be like a rule around it where, you know, if you have 3 players or 4 players on international duty, your game is off.
Yeah.
And then you just, you know, you shoehorn it in later on in the season somewhere. I think that should be the way it's done. It's probably an opportunity. Look, the manager is shouting from the rooftops at the moment that so many people were looking forward to the league coming back. It was like, oh, thank God the international window's over. Get the football back. So I see that side of it. The only other thing is there'll just be a lot of underage players away as well that maybe don't, you know, go under the radar a bit. So there's that end of it. But I'd prefer to just be, look, if you have 3 players away or whatever it is. And I know, I think it used to be done where you could ask for your game to be off. I know that's how the schoolboy football works, where if like you have 4 or 5 players away, you can say, here, look, can we have our game off because lads are representing their country? I think that's fine. I'd have no issue with that. But yeah, blanket, you know, games being called off, especially when there's like Monday night matches rammed in and early in the season, I would rather just play through the international break. The other part of Connor's question was, should the club have taken the Leinster Senior Cup more seriously with the lack of a League Cup at the moment? I think we went about it the right way. I think putting the 20s in it is probably the best way to do it. I know the Leinster Football Association probably aren't happy with League of Ireland teams just throwing their 20s into it, but it's a great way to prepare them and to kind of see how they get on in that senior environment. That'd be my thinking of it. I do think there should be a League Cup as well, mind you, but no, I'd be happy enough with us having the 20s in it. What do you reckon?
Where would you fit the League Cup in, Steve?
Scrap the Leinster Senior Cup for a start. That'd be my thing. And like, do the League Cup as a midweek thing. That's the way it used to be done. And I remember they even, for a while, didn't they kind of regionalise the League Cup, where it was like you played in a group, similar to what the Leinster Senior Cup has been. But like, this business of the Leinster Senior Cup, for me, was a botch job, because I know myself, being in junior football, the clubs weren't particularly arsed with it. Like, the junior clubs weren't. It was a hindrance to them. Like, Evergreen came to play us in Talca, and they benched 4 or 5 of their starting players because they had a junior cup quarter final on the Saturday. So I don't even think the non-league, I hate saying non-league, the junior clubs weren't even too keen on the idea. And then, like, there was a big wait then to play the latter stages of it. I just think it was a bit stupid. I'd rather have, like, a League Cup, but throw, similar to what the FAI Cup is, where there's, like, a criteria where if you get to the, I think it's the last 4 of the Intermediate Cup going to the FAI Cup.
Mm.
Do it like that with the League Cup, where both cups, the FAI Cup and the League Cup, both have junior and intermediate representation in it. I'd prefer to see it done that way. I just think, like, the League Cup is a better chance to get eyes on it. I think people would take it a lot more seriously than the Leinster Senior Cup.
Mm.
That's my thing. Like, Shell's never really bothered with the League Cup back when we were winning leagues, but I personally like to see it back, yeah.
Yeah, well, like, you're making a point there about Evergreen coming to Talca and benching their, like, 4 or 5 of their players. I think it's all about priorities, isn't it? And the Leinster Senior was going on during pre-season, wasn't it? So
yeah,
that's when the club are getting ready for the season ahead. You know, you don't really want anyone getting injured coming into the first few games. So, personally speaking, I think, not that we didn't care about it, but, like, there's priorities at play. Like, supposing we put, I don't know, our best team out in the Leinster Senior Cup, are we 8 points clear at the top of the table, you know, this far into the season? It's hard to know, but I think it comes down to priorities. I personally couldn't care less about Glenn Senior.
Jack was on. He says, do you think Europe is going to affect us in the league when the time comes? I don't think so. Personally, I think we've reacted well to the Friday-Monday games so far. It's a similar turnaround for like around that kind of summertime. And again, that's presuming we go on a good run. That's the other part of it. Like, if you go out the first round, it's not really going to affect you a whole lot anyway. But Ben, Europe clashing with the league, that's something you'd be concerned about?
No, I don't think so. I think, look, there's a lot of depth there this year. We've spoken in abundance about the squad and how much quality there is there. So I don't foresee Europe being a major issue. I think like the backroom staff do a great job of getting the lads turned around and ready for games. You saw that even this week, like with the quick turnaround to Monday, and they're still up for it despite everything. So yeah, I don't think it's going to be a major issue, to be fair.
I think if there was a lot of inexperienced players, like it's a weird one. We're not the most experienced team in the league, but like out of the 11 that played on yesterday being Monday against Derry, like Gano, Tyreek, JJ, Matty Smith, who else there be? Paddy Barrett, Liam Burt. Like obviously Boydie came on, Griff was on the bench, Wardy on the bench. They've all played in Europe. John Martin played in Europe for Dundalk last year. So, you know, they're professional footballers. I'm sure they'll be well looked after. Mero's the best in the business, so wouldn't be overly concerned about like recovery times and stuff like that. So, no, I don't think it'll affect us, but famous last words, of course. We'll finish with this one. Sean O'Kelly, who pretty much gets a question in every week, and they're generally very good ones, so Sean, keep them coming. He asked, what is your ultimate Shells five-a-side team?
Oh, God.
Now, this, like, I didn't really put criteria on it. It's just five Shells players who you think would be the best we could muster up. Ben, you asked me, is there a keeper involved? Yeah. Have you ever played five-a-side?
Hold on. I asked for some keeper involved because some people like to play sweeper. Last man back job.
No.
I didn't know we were going pro five-a-side. Sorry, Coach Duty. I won't make that mistake again.
Nah. Right. Jeez. Let's get to it. I'm going to rattle through with the five. I'm presuming is I've gone keeper, defender, two midfielders, attacker. Is that the way we've gone?
Yeah.
No, I've gone three defenders. Sorry, you've just annoyed me. I've gone the same.
Right. So, look, I'll kick us off because I made you have to keep giving your stuff for the 11s first. So, I've gone with the all reliable Clarkie in nets. I think he's good with his feet. Do a job either way. I've gone with Gav Malloy as my defender because he can do everything, cover the ground, can play, can score, can do it all. I've changed this a couple of times. I've gone with Wezzo as one of my midfielders, and I've gone with Stewie Byrne in there with him because Stewie can do a bit of everything as well, can play left foot, right foot, can score, can run, can tackle, can pretty much do everything. And I think with Wezzo there, you need somebody shuttling around them. So Stewie Byrne's my man in there at Wezzo. And then my free roll, go do whatever you want, especially in the five-a-side parameters, Cheryl.
Oh, wow.
Beat that, I dare you.
Ben, do you want to go first?
Yeah, go on. So for my goalkeeper, I've gone for Connor Kearns, because again, similar vein to as you said, but Clarkie can do a little bit of everything. But yeah, I'd be fairly confident in him. My defender, I've gone with Luke Bourne, the greatest captain in the history of the club. I don't think that's very controversial to say. Two midfielders, look, I think Wes is going to be one across the board, especially in a five-a-side. beside him. Mark Coyle, just to go in and break someone up and maybe pick out a few passes. And up front, score basically anything that comes near him. Jason Bourne.
Oh, well.
You see, my thing, I had Jay originally, and I thought he doesn't move around enough for a five-a-side. That was the only reason Jay didn't get into my one. I think you need a few shutlers. Although, yeah, you can probably make the argument about Cheryl, I suppose. Mm. But Cheryl's probably going to come up with a bit more magic for you than Jason Bourne would. But, yeah, no, fair. Fair case for all of them. Ads?
I feel like my team's quite rogue now, considering what you've just said. But I've gone for Skinner and goal. No, I'm only messing. I've gone for...
Oh, hey, hang on. Hang on a second. You gaslit me about mentioning Skinner on here last week. All I did was say I was shocked that he didn't play as many games as I thought he had. And now we're having pops off Skinner.
Ah, no, not at all. Not
for Skins. That's a disgrace, Ad.
Skins, all I'll say is he's the same fella that put Denzel in his team last week. So.
But this is why I'm giving him a shout-out. I was standing there idly by yesterday, mind me on business, and he comes up to me and goes, "You had Denzel in your team." Then just walked away. I've gone down the Ben route. I've gone Connor Cairns in goal as well. I think his distribution is probably one of his better things. And obviously, look, at keeper's job is the shot stop, and I think he's one of the best in the league. I've gone for Paddy Barrett at the back because, again, I think one of the things about me is his distribution is quite underrated. I think there was a moment yesterday against Derry where he clips the ball over the top and Evan Caffrey gets in behind and he takes a first time and it goes over the bar. Didn't go in, obviously, but it was good play by Paddy Barrett. And then I've gone for Wes Houlihan and Joey and Doe in midfield. I think Joey, I was looking back at the Hadrick split game recently and doesn't Joey get a goal in that, doesn't he, after running like miles to get into the box and stuff, so Joey was a great player.
He gets the assist. I think did he pull one back for Alan Moore,
yeah.
With the whole stadium screaming at him to go to the corner flag.
Go to the corner, that's
the little Cruyff turn back inside instead.
And I just think he's a bit of a character as well. I think he has some great moments in League of Ireland. And then I've gone for, and just purely because of what Steve said there about kind of being able to jink and drive around the box and like the nature of a five-a-side is to kind of move around quickly. I've gone for Will Jarvis as the attacker, just because of his twinkle toes. So that's my team.
Isn't it mad that at this moment in time we're doing an all-time five-a-side team and we all have current players in it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Are we being a bit biased, or are we going to get stick for having them in?
I think. Look, there might be a little bit of stick for having them in. It could be recency bias. Or we could just be looking at some really great Shells players. Yeah, like it's like you could argue a lot of our older players against the new crop, but like, was there many better than Gav Malloy? Hard to argue. Like it's what they bring, and like they have a lot of quality. So there's reasons they're in there.
Yeah. And in fairness, you could probably pick any team and we'd still get abuse for it. So there's not.
Yeah, true. You know? Yeah, yeah. Welcome to the magical world of podcasting. It doesn't matter what you say. Somebody's still going to cane you anyway. It doesn't make a difference. I didn't mention earlier, well done to Liam Burt and Tyreek Wilson. They got in the team of the week. What else am I missing? There is no game for the Women's Premier Division side this weekend. The women's international window is on, so no game there. Obviously, the men's senior team are up against Drogheda United on Friday. There was a bit of a ticket nightmare there again. As far as I'm aware, Drogheda just basically spilled the ticket link on Sunday, let it out publicly, and some people jumped on. As far as I'm aware, all those tickets are cancelled. It starts fresh. It'll be too late by the time you listen to this, but Tuesday night, the link goes live, as far as I'm aware, and people get a chance to get the tickets then. And I think that is us. Gents, anything to add? Or are we all happy?
I'm happy enough.
Are we doing the Richie Rankins?
Oh, the Richie Rankins. See, Adam, This is how you kept the ship afloat.
I don't know about that.
By being organised and actually knowing what on earth you're talking about. Mm. Right, since you started ads, give us them. Richie Winters first.
Richie Winter, I'm giving it to, is it Owen O'Shea, the referee yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, he's getting the Richie Winter. I don't really need to go too much, but there was a point in the game yesterday where I think there was a bit of a Boyd, and I think it was Ronan Boyce, got in a bit of a clash, and Boyce goes down, and he stayed down, and rightfully saw the referee put a stop to the game. But I think about 2 minutes later, the same thing happened. I think it was John Martin who found himself on the ground.
John O'Sullivan it was, yeah.
John O'Sullivan, and he just waved play on, like, no bother. Yeah. And he had a few moments in the game. Look, you said at the start you're not one to slate referees. I am, but I don't want to go too hard on it. I know it's a tough job, but I thought yesterday, given the circumstance of kind of how the squad was feeling and stuff, I don't think the refereeing helped in any way, shape, or form. I felt like the game was stopped every couple of minutes, and it didn't help. I'd imagine if you were watching it on LOI TV, it wasn't a pretty watch, but I don't want to lambast him too much, but he's my Richie Winter for the week.
And supposedly he's an ex-player.
Well,
he played in the league, supposedly, and he actually, I think he was in Athlone or somewhere, like, I think he played with Pats or something weird like that, and then he went to Athlone, I think it was, and he basically gave it up to concentrate on his refereeing career, so take from that what you will. But it's hard to disagree. I do have a different one, but Ben, give us your Richie Winters.
Yeah, I think I would actually agree with Adam. It is very hard to disagree. I think the officiating across the board in the game just wasn't great between referees, fourth official, lineups. It just, there was a lot of, you know, times where you'd be scratching your head thinking, what's happened there? And look, I wouldn't be one to bash them. It's not an easy job, but I think it just needs to be done better.
Yeah, can't disagree, but I do have somebody or a group of people who annoyed me more than the referee on Monday especially. And I'm going to keep this broad because I don't want to single anyone out. Don't want to end up in court. But some of the journalists at the moment are just doing my head in. Is there any chance of actually asking the manager about shells and the match instead of the international job and the FAI and the broader state of football in the country? Like, he's the Shells manager. How often does he have to tell you he's the Shells manager? That's his main focus. And without directly saying it, stop fucking asking me about the Ireland job because I don't care. Like, it's very annoying. Like,
it is a tough listen every week when there's been a game of football. And especially over the last few weeks, it's been a good game of football because we've been winning matches. And every question is, what do you think of John O'Shea? Is he doing a good job? Will he stay in the job? Do you want the job? It is. Look, I agree with you, Doody. I'm there. I hear them as well.
And like, we don't do pretty much press conferences a lot. But anytime they're done, like, the whole idea of them is to get a bit of profile on the fixture that's upcoming. But it always just turns into, oh, Damien, how can we fix Irish football? Damien, how can we fix our academies? Damien, who would you have to the next Ireland manager? Like, Duffer actually himself said at one of them, he was like, you know, there's a game of football tomorrow. Like, you know, we're playing Rovers tomorrow. Like, it's very annoying. So my Richie Winters this week is just some of the journalists as a whole. I know you need to get headlines and write articles, I understand that, but geez, talk about the game every once in a while. Then, Richie Bakers. I'll start because I found it absolutely hilarious at the time when it happened. It goes to Martin the Stewart. Adam, you wouldn't have seen this. You would have been up in the gantry. But,
oh, duty.
You know yourselves when the tunnel comes out before the game for the teams coming onto the pitch. It can be a massive pain in the arse if you're caught on the wrong side of the tunnel because you have to wait. But somehow people managed to get up into the newsstand, which obviously they're not meant to be. Now they're going to the newsstand to get across, which, like, it's grand. It shouldn't happen, but look, few people did, that's fine. Then these two people, who I don't think are regular matchgoers because they looked a bit kind of lost. Went up into the newsstand and kind of tried to get down the far side. And there was a guard kind of shouting at them, being like, you can't stand there. You need to go to the far side. So the two people were like, yeah, grand. Start making their way down. And Martin the steward was just like, no, no, go back. Go back. So the guard was shouting all over, being like, just let them down. Martin is there going, no, they have to go back. I'm in charge here. I'm in charge here. They're not coming down here. And it's just this back and forward with these two poor sods standing there going, can we get down or what's the story? So why Richie Baker is Martin Rowan for sticking to his guns, not being pushed around and doing his job and being in charge of his role. Fair play to you, Martin. Oh, Ben, gosh. You're Richie Baker.
Can I give it to the manager? Is that a bit cheeky?
You do whatever you want.
I feel like the manager deserves it. He's done a lot, especially recently. I think his quote about the league and the international break, like, he's just, he loves this, he loves Shells. It's just great to see.
Mm.
So yeah, I think I have to give it to the manager.
No problem. I'll accept that. Adam,
can I give mine to a team, Steve?
You can do whatever you want.
I'm going to give my Richie Baker to UEFA Team of the Year 2002. And shout out to TikTok for this one, because I was not like savvy to this knowledge beforehand. But I'm going to read out this team really quick, and you'll notice one person in it. So goalkeeper, Resper from Fenerbahce, Puyol, Nesta, Chevu, Roberto Carlos, Clarence Seedorf, Michael Ballack, Zinedine Zidane, Ronaldo, Nazario, Thierry Henry, and on the left wing of Blackburn, Damien Duff. I did not know that. And it lightened up my day when I seen it. So I'm going to give it to UEFA Team of the Year 2002.
Isn't it just mental to think
that,
like, he's in the dugout now on a Friday night?
It's absolutely crazy, man.
Yeah, that's mental. And, like, been lucky enough a few times, like, where he'd be chatting and, like, he just mentions, like, Jose. And it's like he's just talking about, like, the lad he knows. And it's Jose Mourinho. Or then he might mention, like, Frank. Like, it's Frank Lampard he's talking about. And, like, it's mad. It's just, it is a bit mental. Gents.
What a team, by the way, that 2002.
Ah, unbelievable. Oh, absolutely unbelievable. And there's our manager dotted in the middle of it.
Oh, it's mad.
Unreal. Gents, I think that's it. We're over the hour mark. That's usually where we have to call it a day. Or else I'd have to subscribe to the pro version of this software. So I won't be doing that anytime soon. Thank you very much for giving up your evenings. As always, it's always appreciated.
Thanks for having me, Doody. Yeah, I know you love that one.
Yeah. Pearl's coming to get you. No problem, lads. Take it easy. See us on Friday. Up the Reds.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.